Jill, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is there anything else from that experience in the foot washing the catacombs that you can... Yeah. Jill's not going to be with us or Tim tonight.
Sure, let me get my sharing time.
Johannes has a question in the meantime.
She wrote something a few pages long.
Thomas and I talked about maybe we sharing, but I was not prepared to share now.
You want to do it later?
I don't know. Maybe this is okay. So you probably noticed catacombs. I was having a very, very strong emotional reaction. It was just so beautiful. At first, just to be in the catacombs, in the Jewish sense, that was the same day as we had the generational blessing, because we had it the night before, and then we went to the foundations of our church family, and we were there to receive the blessings that they gave us just by their everyday lives. And something that I was touched by in the catacombs is that history often passes down to us the story of the leaders and the story of the elite. But this was the story of the everyday life and death of our mothers and fathers. Normal people like me and like you, so being there was just amazing. And then also something that discipleship movements and are teaching us today is that if a movement or if kind of grows to the fourth generation, then that means it's actually moving and growing and it's expanding beyond. And so the people that began the catacombs, if I'm calculating kind of the lifespan right, the fourth generation would have been in the second century, so it's those people that really ensured that our faith was passed on to us. So just that gift is incredible. And I also kept thinking when we were at St. Petersburg Basilica that the marble in the catacombs was filled with more substantial beauty than the marble of St. Petersburg, which was wonderful art, but it didn't have the weight of beauty that the marble of the catacombs had. Some of these ideas are not for all of you. There's all of that, and then we went to the mass over the catacombs. I was just amazed with the overwhelming beauty, and I hope you were too, of when we started beginning worship, and especially when we sang the songs. I forget the title, maybe you can remind, but the throughout the endless ages you have been crowned with praises. Like, that was one of our first songs, and we were standing over our generation's bones and singing about the glory of the Lord that they sang also. And so it's just amazing to be blessed with our family, with our whole family. Today, we are all represented somehow, and with our family from the past generations and future generations who are there with us too. And just how wonderful our God is, like, to allow all of that to happen. And I'm always moved too when church happens in two languages. We are a multilingual family, and so church should be in two languages, I think, at least. And then the remembrance of our baptism together, and just how beautiful it is that we share in one baptism, and that we can remember that together, even as we remember different traditions that our baptism came from, we remember together. And And then also the symbolism of how it was sprinkled over us, and that reminding us of our Jewish roots, because that symbolism came from the blood of the sacrifice being sprinkled out on the crowd. And then the foot washing, as I said about it being so beautiful, with the clergy washing our feet, like in on the same level together, humbling themselves. Just the foot washing is so important, like to unity, like because again, humility is essential for unity. We can't be truly together if one of us thinks the other is higher, and so to humble ourselves in that service of foot washing is it's beautiful family work to do it together. There's just such deep raw beauty. I mean, like the catacombs also, like just deep raw beauty of the pickaxes going into the volcanic rock, like just this everyday service to one another being done together. Like that's just, that is weighty beauty, like that our hearts can explode with. And then after the foot washing, we offered ourselves up as a living sacrifice, and that just, like, I almost felt knocked over, because, I mean, we were standing over the burial sites of the martyrs, offering ourselves as living sacrifices, and just, like, that is hugely powerful that we did this together, And I think it's important that we like walk forward too with that mindset of being a living sacrifice together, with our ancestors also.
Amen.
And so I think the rest. Oh no, the passing of the peace. So, you know, as you may have seen, like I was crying like crazy, and I didn't want y'all to see that, so I kept trying to hide. So I like right before the passing of the peace, I was like, "Don't show this." Then Hannah was the first person that hugged me. And she said shalom, which like both broke my heart, like, because in the midst of all of that unity that we were doing together, it occurred to me, like, yes, we should be saying shalom, like, that there's still so much more to do, you know, like, even in this simple thing, we were accidentally forgetting our roots, but then as far as saying that, still, like, in an embrace of, like, there is forgiveness, there is still shalom, even when we forget unity. There is still peace between us. That's just, that's so important. I'm so beautiful. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And then, yeah, just that we have shalom here now, even as there's more to go.
Amen. So,